Hi, everybody. I'm Jim.
And I'm Ryan.
And his goggles do nothing.
The goggles that do nothing.
No, this is the Concept Crucible podcast, and it is Halloween, and we are in costumes. I am Handsome Jack of Borderlands 2 fame.
And I am a historically inaccurate Billy Bishop, World War I flying ace.
Yeah, Billy Bishop is pretty cool, but I think he crashed a bunch of planes.
That's all right. You don't really succeed without pushing the envelope just a little bit, so...
Note to self, never drive anywhere with Ryan.
Sorry.
No, we wanted to talk about costumes, not how to make them or anything like that, because we don't know anything about that. But if you do want to know a little bit about that, you can go check out a different Ryan's channel, which I will put over your face, which is Ryan Consoles' channel, who makes a ton of awesome smithed and armor smith and metal and leather costumes. Mm-hmm. It's super cool. This was made by Gina, who is an official Rioteer, and it is also beautiful and amazing. Mm-hmm. Ryan's costume was assembled by me.
In about 2 minutes.
You're authentic. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. We want to talk about, rather than how-to of costumes, of which there are tons of awesome places online that we'll talk about that. We don't know anything about it. But the philosophy of costumes, the why of costumes, and what costumes do when we put them on, and what they do to us and what they do to the people around us and how they change us, that is the thing that matters to me. And that is the thing that matters to me, not just about costumes, but about things in general. I mean, Halloween is a holiday all about putting on a costume and being something else. I mean, literally, you were supposed to disguise yourself as something else so evil spirits wouldn't get you.
Yep.
And, you know, this is your opportunity to do that. But why would you do that, given that we no longer have those sort of religious or spiritual reasons to do so? Mm-hmm. I mean, most people who practice Halloween do not have that.
Yeah.
I would argue, or very few of the ones even who are, you know, Christian Halloween practitioners, of which I'm sure there are lots and lots. Mm-hmm. They're not doing it to hide their kids from evil spirits. They're doing it because it's a lot of fun, and because there's candy, and it is a lot of fun. But first, icebreaker, Ryan, if you had no holds barred for costumes, if you could dress up like anything you wanted, what would it be?
It's a toss-up between two, but they ultimately revolve around the same theme. There was that video going around, I don't know when it started, maybe it started a couple years ago, but it's making the rounds again, of the person who built the realistic Transformers outfit, where it actually transforms from a Transformers robot into a car, and they actually drive around a little bit. So it'd either be that or a Disney cast member, either a speaking role or a non-speaking role, but one of the people that dresses up in the costume and goes out and does autographs or sits on the parade, floats and waves at it. And the reason why I choose those is I like the idea of embodying a character that, and this is mostly geared towards kids, but embodying a character that the kids think are real and bringing that character to life. Maybe if it was a specific Disney cast member, it'd probably be something like Goofy, or Stitch, you know, so one of those characters that, some sort of Transformer.
But in the pre-show, Ryan, you told me that you would pick Stitch because you can do the voice. Is that true?
I can do the voice, but I won't do it now. Maybe we'll throw it in a future episode, but, can't really do it now. Don't make me do it.
On the audio, for those of you listening, I'm staring expectantly at Ryan.
No. I can't really do it at the moment.
All right, no pressure.
All right.
My costume, I thought I had to think about it, but I would want to dress up as a wizard, not like an old school Merlin Stars and Robes wizard, but like a modern sort of leather overcoat Jim Butcher wizard. I mean, in that same vein of I would have a lot of knickknacks and things, and I would be able to give them away to people. In ways that were meaningful, and it would be really fun for me. The costume, it's about how it affects the people around me, and that to me is more fun than just becoming something else. I certainly do when I put on this costume for headshots, where my role is that of Handsome Jack, and my job is to give things away, be funny, play guitars, talk to the chat, occasionally answer questions from real people. and, you know, just generally give our players a hard time. As the main villain of Borderlands 2, I feel uniquely empowered to just run around and give our players a hard time. And it's a lot of fun. But in general, I care less about how they change me and how I feel. Those are things I leave for my clothes or for uniforms or things like that. But I care about how they change other people in uniforms and want to do both. Hmm. But why do you wear costumes?
So I haven't worn a costume in a long time. But from what I remember, the fun of costumes typically was getting to be something you're not, at least as a kid. So like when I dressed up as Batman as a kid one time, you know, I
pro tip, Ryan is not Batman.
No, I'm, well, that you know of. At the time, I dressed up as Batman, but I remember as a kid walking around and like staring at my shadow in the night and like seeing the cowl's shadow being cast, right? And you feel like Batman. You run around, and I was a kid. I think around the time when the second Burton movie came out. I mean, I was a kid when all of them came out, but I remember. I think the first Burton movie was it came out. Just slightly too early for me. Like I watched it, but I don't think I really got it as a kid. But the second one with the Penguin and Catwoman came out, and I remember it was right when I was like full on into Batman and Ghostbusters and everything like that. And I wanted to be a Ghostbuster as a kid too. But I remember one time when I dressed up as Batman, I could see the cowl in the darkness, and like it wasn't even a proper. Like, Batman costume, it was the cowl that you bought from the store, and I wore, like, a t-shirt with the Batman logo, and then we just made this makeshift bat cape out of, you know, like, a curtain or something like that.
Nice.
But it was like a homemade costume, but you just walked down the street, and I felt like Batman. And so I imagine part of the reason why you'd want to dress up in a costume is to embody something, or to become somebody else.
I feel like Michael Keaton Batman's a good thing for that, because then you can show up people's door as a grade eight and be like, trick or treat, as opposed to now when kids who grow up with Batman are like, trick or treat,
yeah,
give me candy, no. I want your candy,
yeah, I got throat problems,
yeah, what's the problem, give me those toy cigarettes,
where's the candy?
That's our audio, that's our audio blowing our spike. Yeah, I don't know. I spent a lot of time thinking about costumes and uniforms and things like that. I mean, you can dress up to become someone else. You can dress up to hide who you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, masquerade balls are exactly that. You don't become something else when you put on a mask. You just hide who you are. You gain anonymity, and that empowers you to do stuff that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do, whether that's dance with people or, you know, hang out or go to parties or things like that. But it gives you a different feeling. You know, you feel like you're sort of getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there are things that you would normally be perfectly okay to do, doing it in a costume or wearing a mask feels different. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they allow you to embody a character. We're going to bracket for this episode that we're not going to talk about, though we might talk about later in some future episode, is the difference between cosplay and costume.
Yeah.
And being in costume versus cosplaying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, arguably there's a Venn diagram there, but our short answer is if you say that you are cosplaying, then you are.
Yeah. And we definitely would want to get somebody on the show who's
actually more knowledgeable about that kind of stuff. But it is a thing that comes up, especially with the notion of thinking about costumes and why we dress up in them. I mean, you can dress up in a costume to hide who you are, but you can also dress up in a costume to show who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you use the example of Batman, of you dressing up like Batman. But when Batman, sort of in the story of Batman, when Batman dresses up like Batman, he is not hiding Bruce Wayne. It is a fact that he does hide Bruce Wayne with that mask and with his secret identity, but he is showing you that he is the goddamn Batman. He is like that is who he really is. He has to put on a costume in the same way that very few of us really feel like who we are when we are naked.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole notion of being naked implies vulnerability. I mean, as opposed to being nude, which implies mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to put things on to feel like ourselves. and to feel sort of safe and secure and things like that. And you can put on a costume to feel like someone else, or sometimes to feel like yourself. The question is, of course, at that point, is it really a costume?
No.
Or is it something else?
I think context also matters there too, but we shouldn't get too far into it.
Yeah.
We're going to bracket that discussion.
Yeah, other things we're going to bracket for this episode is lifestyles versus costumes, where, I mean, if you are goth or steampunk, mm-hmm. or even if you're one of those people who enjoys dressing like a cowboy.
Otherkin.
Otherkin, I don't find that Otherkin wear a lot of costumes.
They wear, I sometimes see accessories like tails and ears.
True. I don't know that many Otherkin anymore, so that is entirely possible. But yeah, it's the same idea, is that that is not stuff that is a costume. Mm-hmm. That is stuff that is a lifestyle. That is, you know, people who are punks, for instance, are not dressing up mm-hmm. like punks. They are punks, and so they dress that way because they like it, because they feel like it is part of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
This is not my this is my costume because I don't wear this everywhere. I don't wear this to feel like me. I wear this to feel like someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way that cosplay, in a lot of ways, it is costume based because you are not becoming yourself when you put it on.
Mm-hmm.
You're usually portraying a character, and when people approach you, they want to interact with that character. I mean, rather they want to take pictures with that character. I mean, you very rarely will you see people who take, and it does happen. I know a bunch of cosplayers who, like, oh, I got a picture with Jessica Negri or something, and you know, they're like she is awesome and she's amazing and she is really cool. But most of the time, when it's people, it's like, I got a picture with this person dressed as Harley Quinn, and this person dressed as Batman, and this person dressed as Shoujo Kakame Utena.
Yeah. Or the Doctor.
Or the Doctor. And that is, I mean, that is the thing, is costumes have an effect on other people,
mm-hmm.
as your recent encounter with the Doctor proves.
Yeah. Probably shouldn't be mysterious about that. I should probably tell that story.
That was my segue into you telling that story, yes.
So, really, really cool story, or at least it's cool for me, was the other night I was sitting at home just getting, like, chilling before work, and this is after dark, so somebody came to the door and rang the doorbell, and I wasn't expecting anybody, right? Like, who's coming to my door at this time? And so I opened the door, and it's our buddy Ryan. Now, at first, I wasn't really all that into it. Like, I wasn't with it, so I'm like, I know you. But I don't know. I don't remember where you know you from. And he hands me he just goes, special delivery. And I looked at it and I realized that it's like the Kickstarter package thing kind of deal. So he hands me a box a game. He made a game called Evolve, and I was waiting for it to come in. And he, instead of mailing it to me, he just decided special delivery. And so I'm like, oh, that's really cool, while I'm trying to hold my dog back from running outside. And so I'm bent over the entire time looking up at him. And we're talking, and then I looked down, and I saw that he was wearing white Converse. And then in my mind, I just remembered that he cosplays as the Doctor, the 10th Doctor. And then I looked up, and I'm pretty sure he was outside in the dark, so it was kind of hard to tell. But it looked like he was wearing a suit. And then it just, in my mind, suddenly there was this kind of gestalt shift. I was no longer talking to Ryan. I was talking to the Doctor. And I felt this insane giddy happiness that the Doctor stopped by my house, and he wasn't speaking as the Doctor, he wasn't putting on an accent, he didn't have a sonic, like he didn't have any of those things. But in my mind, I made this shift in perception that I was with the Doctor was there. And like, even so, when he went to take off, I let the dog out, and the dog started to follow him down the sidewalk. So I'm like, whoa, hang on a second. And he walked back so I could grab the dog. And then he took off. He started running, and I couldn't help myself. And I just said, run, Doctor. And it was just... And then I went home, and I immediately started shooting a message to Jim, like, the greatest thing happened to me. Ryan stopped by, and he was dressed like the Doctor. And you know what? I don't even know if he was dressed as the Doctor. I think it could have been just, I saw the shoes, I remembered that he cosplays, and my brain played a trick on me.
Well, and that is the thing is costumes and characters and whatnot do that. I mean, the thing I see at cons is, like, you see people get in great cosplay getting swarmed, but part of the reason they're getting swarmed is not merely because the craft work on their costumes is exceptional,
mm-hmm.
which undeniably it often is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am wearing one of those costumes, and it's awesome.
It is very well done.
Yes, I am continually amazed. But more to the point is that we see that character, mm-hmm. and we identify with that character, and we know that, like, no matter who that person is, they're a huge fan of the same character that we love. Mm-hmm. And it hits that part of your brain where you're just like, wow! Mm-hmm. And it, you know, and usually at a con or whatnot, you're already in a headspace where you're exercising less restraint and things like that, and that's why things like spontaneous hugging happen.
Yep.
But yeah, it's the cool thing about costumes for me is the things that they can bring out in other people,
mm-hmm.
and the things that they draw out of other people. I mean, there are a couple of superhero groups. Around, not like the one I always think of is the Rain City superhero movement, but those, they actually fight crime,
mm-hmm.
like not through vigilantism, but through citizens' arrests and probable cause and things like that, calling the police but they are superheroes who fight crime.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lots of other superheroes who dress up like superheroes and do charity work. They hand out food, they, you know, help people with their grocery, but the whole point is that we are, you know, superheroes aren't real,
mm-hmm.
but they should be.
Bradford Batman.
Yeah we should get him on the podcast.
That would be pretty cool. Maybe next Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, like, some people do, you know, do sort of strictly dress up in costume, but a lot of people who do dress up in costume like that, they go out, and the thing is that dressing up empowers them not just to do these things themselves. They could do that anyway, and they are the kinds of people who would do that anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that is a thing that you are so inspired to do, not wearing a costume is not going to stop you. But wearing the costume shows everyone else,
mm-hmm.
and it moves them. There's a story. I'm going to try and dig up an article on it, but at the very least, it is a tale that came out of the Japanese earthquake a few years back. And it was, I think I mentioned it when we were talking about Sentai before, but where Sentai actors would dress up. Sentai, for the uninitiated, is people like the Power Rangers. Because we can't actually go an episode without talking about the Power Rangers at least once. But Sentai actors would dress up in their costumes and go and hand out food and aid and medication and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the rationale they had for doing that was, we play heroes every day on television. And that's it. Like, they're just, you know, this is a thing that they can do. They're not, you know, they're not field medics. They're not, you know, what they can do is hand out things, and what they can do for the people around them is present the face of these heroes that these people know and care about. And that is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a thing that, it is the effect that costumes have on us. Like, it is the same hold that narrative and characters have on us, because costumes are stories.
Mm-hmm.
Costumes let us change stories and hide stories and reveal stories in ways that we couldn't otherwise do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and clothing does the same thing, only clothing is a more contemporary and consistent story.
Right.
You know, but costumes let us dramatically change our story once in a while.
Yeah, at least once a year.
At least once a year, yeah. I wonder, I can never think, I was always one of those kids where I had a really elaborate, Halloween was much like my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I had this really elaborate idea of a thing that I wanted to do that I never got around to it, and then I did nothing, or I did something really half-assed.
Yep, I did the same thing. One year for Halloween at school, especially because there was like a Halloween costume contest, I called myself the Holiday Spook, and I wore a fedora and a shirt that said, "This is my costume."
Nice.
And that was all I wore.
Seems like a very Ryan thing to do. Yeah. No, I also love costumes that have like big props and stuff, but I don't like carrying big props. Yeah. So like, there's sort of a cosplay crucible that happens at cons, mm-hmm. where you have to make this choice in the middle of the day where, like, all right, do I keep wearing my costume and maintain its integrity?
Yeah.
And endure the living hell that my costume has become?
No.
Or do I take it off and risk inauthenticity? And it's a real dilemma. I mean, people who make or buy really elaborate costumes, that is a thing they deeply care about.
Mm.
And that makes that problem very real. I really want to have a great costume, and I don't want to compromise it, but it is really hot in my power loader outfit. In my Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man costume.
In my bomber jacket.
In your bomber jacket under these lights.
It is really warm. My goggles are entirely fogged.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, man. If you are listening to the audio version of this, you are missing out a bit.
Yeah.
Ryan is slowly melting next to me.
Yep.
He is turning into a liquid. It's kind of wonderful.
That's why I'm hoping that this is just going to be a quick episode and not a full blank.
The other thing we wanted to bracket that I really want to talk about, but I want to get some sort of more people and some more heads into a space to do it, is body type and costumes and body image and costumes. So our last podcast, we talked about exercise because it's winter and we just had Thanksgiving and everything is, well, Canadians just had Thanksgiving and we're all getting fat.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. But, you know, there's this notion of body type and costume. And at one point, from one perspective, we really enjoy challenging that. And we really love seeing people push those boundaries. So Ryan, the guy whose channel we linked at the beginning, and the guy who was apparently, rumor has it, dressed up like the doctor, deliver Ryan's package, who is also one of our honorary rioters. You can see him in all kinds of stuff. He did a great Slave Leo cosplay, which is his Slave Leia outfit that he made for himself. Gina, who made this and who's been in a couple of our videos, and I will link them over Ryan's face, has done some great gender-bending stuff with Tiger and Bunny and a couple other things. And there's a certain kind of costume that's great, but there's also... people will give you a lot of flack if you don't sort of fit the mold for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is unfortunate, and that is a shitty thing to do to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how much time they spend on their costume or whether they're a real fan or whatever. No, just in general, that's a shitty thing to do to somebody.
Yeah.
But we're going to bracket that because we're not going to talk about that today.
Yeah.
No, because Halloween is a time for fun and is a time for parties. I guess that is the other reason we didn't talk about for wearing costumes.
Parties.
Well, just fun. Yeah. I mean, like, you don't have to have a deep, meaningful reason for wearing a costume. You could wear... I mean, there are millions of people every year who wear a costume one day a year, and they wear it to a party. These are the people who buy those like, sexy nurse costumes and things like that. And they just... they wear them to a party. And, you know, they have a good time, and they come home, and they put the costume in their closet, and they either never take it out again, or they take it out during spring cleaning, and they're like, why would I wear this?
Yep.
What was I doing? How drunk was I? I mean, and whatever it is, maybe it's your Indiana Jones costume, or your, you know, whatever, it came in a little plastic thing, and you sort of bought it at a costume shop or something because it looked really cool, and you had a really good time, and that's awesome. Well done. Fair play to you. I mean, costumes don't have... the cool thing about costumes is they don't have to do anything that much. Like clothing, you can just wear it because you like it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your costume becomes your clothes. I mean, that was... you wanted to talk about uniforms, which is what uniforms do.
Yeah.
Can you do that or are you evaporating?
Well, we can make it quick before I waste away into nothingness. So I haven't dressed up in a costume in quite some time. This is probably the first in a long time. But I do have a lot of experience with uniforms.
I feel like you're less Billy Bishop and more Snoopy.
Maybe. But when it comes to uniforms, so I was in Army Cadets, I was in Boy Scouts, working in the factory... the campus response team that I was on had a uniform. Even at work for being a security guard, we have a uniform. And there's something in the psych literature called enclothed cognition. It's the idea that when you put on these outfits, you start to think in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the Stanford Prison Experiment showed that.
Yep.
When you dress up as a police officer, you can often shift your thinking. When you're dehumanized and told to wear prison outfits, you can shift your thinking and completely embody something else. And I remember the first time I put my security uniform on, it's not that I felt power, I put it on and I just felt this pride in the uniform. Because I had already worked for the bar for 2 years, and putting on a shirt that had the bar's logo on it and then said security on the back, I felt this just this pride of, you know, becoming important in the bar, like an important member of the team.
As opposed to when you were just a karaoke host?
Yeah, I mean, I was an important part of the team, but I wasn't wearing a uniform. I was just standing up at the front with a microphone in my hand. But as a security guard, I felt different. When I was in Army Cadets, and you take pride in your uniform, you know, you iron it, you ensure that the badges all get sewn on properly, you wear your rank. When you get your new rank and you have to rip the old rank off and sew the new one on, polishing your boots, polishing your brass, which sounds like a euphemism, but it's a real thing. You just took a lot of pride in putting it on, and you put the uniform on and you went on the parade square and you stood just a little taller and you marched just a little bit more rigidly, and you know, it's your mode of thinking changes. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
When you're standing, I mean, in cadets or the army or something like that, you see a lot of people wearing that same uniform. You identify with them in a way.
So I don't think there's a huge disconnect between uniforms and costumes, especially on the cosplay level, that when you put on the uniform, it alters the way you think and the way you act and whatnot, especially in cosplay when you embody the character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you put on a uniform, you don't necessarily change how you speak or change the tone of your voice. But you still put, like, you become more professional.
You recognize a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We did a blog post a long time ago now. We'll link it in the show notes about my boots,
mm-hmm.
which I don't wear that much anymore. But it was one of those things one of those rituals that sort of picked up my whole day was when I would tie my boots, a well-tied pair of combat boots. And they're just my beat-up old combat boots that I did things like convocate for my undergrad in, because they were familiar, they were where I went everywhere, but it was that they were part of my sort of gym suit,
mm-hmm.
that I would put on to face
the JIM suit.
Yes,
not GYM.
Yeah, no, although I would also wear them to work out.
Yeah,
I've run many miles in those combat boots.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, costumes, uniforms, they all sort of tie together. I mean, there are just as many reasons to wear a uniform out of duty, out of requirement, out of responsibility, out of, you know, fun. But we recognize a difference between someone who is a soldier or is a police officer and someone who is dressed up like one.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling is very different too.
Yeah.
Like I mean, the notion is that you ought not to feel like you are play acting, which is exactly why imposter syndrome happens, is that
mm-hmm.
people who are wearing uniforms feel like they are play acting.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, then you ought not to. You are the real thing,
mm-hmm.
and I guess that our last thing I wrote at the bottom of our notes: problematic costumes. We did a video on this too,
mm-hmm.
last Halloween. If you feel the need to dress up like a First Nations person, or, you know, God forbid, a suicide bomber, there are actual costumes for that, or, you know, putting on blackface,
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. Just do us and everybody else, like, everywhere in the world ever, a favor. And don't. I mean, cultures are not costumes. Like, you just...
No.
Again, there's a video link if you want to go look at the Cultures Are Not Costumes video, but it becomes relevant every year because there are people who do it,
mm-hmm.
and it's not the worst kind of cultural imperialism, but it is the sort of casual, we don't care about you kind of cultural imperialism that is really bad.
Mm.
So just, don't do it. Anyway, on that lovely note, we're going to go eat candy.
Yep.
I'm Jim.
And I am Billy Bishop.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. Stay awesome.
What do we look like here? Oh, we look like dudes.
Yep.
Wearing stuff. Do you want a hat? I have a Viking hat.
Nah, not for this one.
All right.